Good morning as we gather together for our worship on this what is known as Trinity Sunday. As we gather together, wherever we are, in your lounges, in your homes, or in rooms where you're watching with friends, a very warm welcome to you. As we light the candle, we're reminded that Christ is the light of the world, that Christ, through the Holy Spirit, is present with us. And so we will then move into prayer. Let us pray. Father God, as we gather together for our worship this morning, we thank you for the God that you are, often mysterious, often unexplainable, yet, Lord, you choose and you chose to come into our world. You chose each and every one of us. And so in this moment of worship, Lord, as we respond to you, we pray that you would make your presence felt in our midst. We pray, Lord, that as we share together, you would be the one who is honored. You would be glorified, for it is you that draws us into this moment. You are the one that we worship. So receive all that we bring to you in this time of worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so we join together in our first song, Worship the King, all glorious above, O gratefully sing of his wonderful love. Today's reading is taken from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 to 21. I ask God from the wealth of his glory to give you power through his Spirit to be strong in your inner selves. And I pray that Christ will make his home in your hearts through faith. I pray that you may have your roots and foundation in love, so that you, together with all God's people,
They have the power to understand how broad and long, how high and deep is Christ's love. Yes, may you come to know his love, although it can never be fully known, and so be completely filled with the very nature of God. To him who by means of his power working in us is able to do so much more than we can ever ask for or even think of, to God be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus for all time, forever and ever. Amen.
We all want to know God more. We all want to be able to explain God better. I think the reason why we gather together for worship is we have this deep desire to be in an ever-growing relationship with our God. Today, as I mentioned earlier, is what we call Trinity Sunday. Trinity Sunday is another day that we set aside of maybe being able to try and explain God a little bit better. Try and be able to view God from a different perspective, but to try and understand more or be able to know God more. It was the philosopher and theologian St. Augustine who, while walking along the beach, was puzzling over in his mind, how do I explain God? How do we explain God in a way that enables us to understand? And while he was walking along pondering this question, he noticed a small boy who was playing on the beach. He dug a small hole and he was running backwards and forwards from the sea to the hole with a bucket. Every time he ran to the sea, he'd fill it with water. He'd come back to his hole and he'd pour the water into the hole and run back and fetch another bucket of water. After watching this for a while, St. Augustine asked him and he said, "Excuse me, young man, but what are you doing?" To which the boy replied, "I'm trying to put that ocean into this hole." And it was in that moment that St. Augustine realized what he was trying to do in explaining God was to try and explain an infinite God and place it into a finite mind. I just love that statement. An infinite God into a finite mind. It really begins to help us understand that maybe we will never fully understand God. With all that we do to try and debate, analyze, research, all those fancy questions we ask, every possible view that we take, whether it's about suffering or about grace or big God in small heart, all of those questions don't necessarily help us. When we start trying to explain God through icons and pictures that we see, we dissect the picture, we explain it, but every explanation we come up with, we know falls far short of this infinite God whom we worship. I guess the bottom line is that we will never, ever fully understand God or even explain him. We will never fully understand, perceive, or realize the depth of God's love for us. We have many illustrations that explain it or try to show it, but it always falls short. Last week in our church, we had a visiting preacher, Reverend Siwive, and he had this illustration that he used about trying to explain God to his son. And he used the image of a passenger jet. And he explained to his son, when you're far away, the jet is so small. But when you go to the hangar where the jet is massive, it's huge. And so he concluded and said to his son, the closer you are to God, the bigger he is. And I thought that was a wonderful illustration And I want to build on that just a little bit for today. The closer we get to God, the more we think we begin to understand Him. Often the closer we get to God, the more complex He seems to be. The bigger He is, the more details we begin to see, the more difficulty we have of trying to be able to explain, understand, know our God. It's like a rose bush. From a distance, we all know that that's a rose bush. We can see it by its shape, by the kind of leaves that it might have from a distance. But the closer you get to the rose bush, you then become aware of some of the details. The closer you get, you begin to recognize and see the thorns on the stems. The closer you get, you become more aware of the details of the color of the petals, the hues, the way that they flow into each other. And the closer you get, you become more aware of the details of the stamen and the stigma. And if you get very close, you become aware of the fragrance of the rose. But the closer you get, the more details you see, the more complex a rose bush looks. As Paul writes and as he prays for the Christians in Ephesus, he uses these words and he says, "May you have the power to understand how broad and long, how high and deep is Christ's love. Yes, may you come to know His love, although it can never be fully known." I think Paul got it right. As much as we entertain and explore all the difficult questions, as much as we use pictures and illustrations to try and understand, everything that we do to try and explain God will never enable us to fully know Him. In my own faith journey, I have often found that it is helpful to sometimes return to simple facts. And the facts are very simply that God loves us, that He sent His Son Jesus to come to earth, and that through the Holy Spirit, God is present with us in our everyday lives. Literally and very simplistically, it is as simple as that. God the Father loves us. Jesus the Son came to us. The Holy Spirit stays with us. That is God. Three in one. Trinity. But how do we explain it? How do we understand it? How do we put an infinite God into our finite minds? The following story is told of a prince who wanted to find a maiden to become his queen eventually. One day, while he was running an errand for his father through the village, he went through a relatively poor section of the village. And while he was looking out the carriage, his eyes fell upon a beautiful maiden, dressed in pretty much peasant kind of clothes. And during the ensuing days, he saw her often. In fact, whenever he was sent on some sort of errand that he needed to go into the village, he would make sure that he went round the same route so that he might possibly see the young maiden again. Over time, he fell in love with her, but now he had a problem, because how could he seek her hand in marriage? How could he, the prince, be able to ask her to become his wife? He had a number of options that he could use. Well, he could order her to marry him, but even a prince doesn't want his bride to marry him because she has to, because she was coerced to. He could put on a wonderful display, get dressed in a wonderful, beautiful uniform, arrive at her house with a carriage with six white horses, and in that way just overwhelm her and ask her to be his wife. But even that, would she not be so overwhelmed? Would he be assured that she chooses him? So what the prince decided to do, he decided that he would give up his kingly robes, decided that he would move into the village, into the same area where the maiden lived. He would sacrifice his crown, take on peasant clothes, live among the people, learn their language, talk their language, discover what their interests are, what their concerns were. And in time, he was introduced to the maiden and she fell in love for him for who he was as a person, not because he was a king. I know it's just a story, but it's a good illustration. For the king is God. The prince is Jesus. And we are the peasant maiden. God is present in our everyday lives because Jesus came to live among us. God loves us so much. God has given us so much. Jesus came to prove his love for each of us, just to demonstrate through giving up heaven and taking on earth, through giving up eternity and becoming a child, to demonstrate his love for us. It is mysterious. In many ways, it is incomprehensible. How can God become human? How can the eternal become not eternal? How can the creator of the universe become a sperm, become a baby, a fetus, be born? How can the eternal die on a cross? It is mystery. That is the mystery of our God. And as we begin to realize that mystery and to accept that God is present in our everyday lives, even when we don't understand it, even when it doesn't make sense and all of those questions are totally confusing, even when we don't feel it, when our emotions are all over the place and we look at our world and because we're so caught up in our emotions, God just doesn't feel anywhere close by. Even when we do not believe it, because everything in our world points away from God. This past week, we heard that news about those 6 primary school children who were killed in that accident. Where's God? How can God be present when those kind of things happen? And our minds keep playing those games. But even in the midst of all that chaos, all the struggle, all the difficulty, in the midst of all of our questions and concerns, God is present. The simple facts. God the Father loves us. Jesus the Son came to us. God the Holy Spirit stays with us. God is present. And it is mysterious and it's incomprehensible. And none of those simple answers solve our debates or even bring into any clear light what our big questions are. It doesn't explain the theology of the Trinity. It doesn't give us neat answers to pass on to other people. It doesn't put the ocean into a hole in the sand. But it is in that mystery that we begin to realize that even though we don't understand it, even though we can't explain it, God is present in our everyday lives. And so I conclude with those words that we read earlier, as Paul writes, "To him who by means of his power, working in us, is able to do so much more than we can ever ask for or even think of, to God be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus for all time, forever and ever." To God be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ for all time, forever and ever. Amen. And so we turn to our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. God of love, hear us when we call. Hear our prayers for the whole earth plunged into uncertainty and crisis. We pray for every leader, advisor, and government having to make difficult and life-altering decisions under huge pressure. Bring your wisdom and discernment to their tasks of responsibility, that they would act with integrity and foresight. Remind us that there is no height nor depth, no corner of our planet where your love does not reach. God of love, hold the world in your hands. Hear our prayers for our own president and his cabinet, those who must enforce the law, and our fellow citizens. We pray, Lord, for great patience and restraint in circumstances that could get so volatile. We ask for special protection, Lord, for the defenseless, and special compassion for the most vulnerable, the most disadvantaged, and the most endangered at this time. We pray, Lord, for courage, resilience, and fortitude for all people. God of love, hold the world in your hands. Hear our prayers for our own communities, asking that you remind them that when they turn inward, you are already there, and the darkness within cannot hide your eternal light. Lord, we pray in particular for those who cope with unseen violence, abuse, and harm. Remind them that you are the sword and shield. We pray, Lord, in particular for those who are facing financial hardship. Remind them that you are faithful. We pray in particular, Lord, for those who are facing health problems. Remind them that you are the healer of all wounds. We pray in particular, Lord, for those who are facing suffering of any kind. Remind them that you are always by our side. Finally, Lord, we pray for ourselves. Place in our hearts the clarity that we are part of a universal act of love. We partner with you in a love that embraces the whole world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so we conclude our time together as we sing together a song by Chris Tomlin, "Whom Shall I Fear?"
Fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? You crush the enemy,
Thank you again for sharing with us in our worship. And so I pray this blessing as we go our separate ways. May God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, in all his complexity, in all his compassion, in all his love, and in all his fellowship, be with us all until we meet again. Amen.